You're a generational church, meaning you will pass the things of God down from one generation to the next generation. That's a biblical generation. That's why you have citywide VBSs. That's why you have a Heritage Leadership Academy. That's why you are investing in vulnerable children. That's why you're going to the streets and the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. That's why it may be not the most comfortable for you, but you're a generational church that is going to continue to last for generations to generations. One thing I love about a family service is during a family service is a time where moms and boys and girls get to mimic and mirror their moms and dads in worship, in giving. I saw somebody come down with their little baby towing, walking down to give their offering, showing them, leading them in the way they should go, just as Proverbs said, training them for, this isn't even in my message, training them for in the way they should go, because when they're old, they will not depart from that. So Pastor Carla, Pastor Davies, it is such a pleasure to come to a generational church that is going to take the generations with them. You know, we read about a lot about generations. God is a generational God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is into generations. And there was a point in time in the Bible where there was they were told that the Deuteronomy law to teach these things, to write them on the doorpost of your house, to talk about them with your children and the coming and going. And that was to carry it on. But, and I'm losing the scripture right now because this wasn't in my notes and the internet wasn't working on my phone when I went to look it up. But there was a part in the Old Testament where there came a generation, I can't remember where it's at, Pastor Davies, Pastor Carl, if you can remember, you can help me. There came a generation that did not know the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. I knew it. In Judges 1, there was a generation that was noted that they did not know the things of the Lord. And that was saddening. That was heartbreaking to me to hear that there would be a generation that did not know of the goodness of God, did not know of the things that God had done, did not know. And that leads me into what I have on my heart to share today is a message called, Are You on Empty? Let God Fill You Up. Because as this church is a generational church, and we're never going to look back on the history of Victory Faith Church, our Living Faith International, and say, oh, we forgot about a generation, or oh, we missed a generation, or oh, we skipped a generation. No, no, no. That's not going to happen on my watch, on Pastor Carla's watch, on Pastor Davies' watch, on the leadership here of Victory Faith Church. That's not going to happen. Why? Because you're going to stay active. You're going to stay attentive. You're going to stay, oh, you guys are close. That was attentive, not the other word. But I'm glad you're listening, especially you young ones. You are listening. But they're not going to say that about Victory Faith Church. They're not going to say that we missed a generation. They're not going to say that this was lost, because we're going to take the time to not just be a travel agent, but to be a tour guide. You know the difference between a travel agent and a tour guide? A travel agent, you can go to them and you can say, I want to go on safari. And they say, oh, we'll go over here to the Masai Mara on safari and you'll see big five. You'll see all the animals. And that's what the travel agent will do. They'll say, if you go here and stay in this hotel and go to Wilson Airport and fly out and you can go on safari and see all the animals, now pay me money. But what does a tour guide do? A tour guide say, you want to go on safari? Come here, let me take you. And they'll grab you by the hand and they'll walk with you. We'll fly to the Mara. We'll get together and we'll find our campground. We'll get in the car. Oh, over here is where the lions are. And over here is where the rhinos are. A tour guide will take you. And you have to do that as parents. You have to do that as leaders. You have to do that as a church. You have to take the next generation with you from one level to the next level to the next level. It's awful quiet in here. And I know that's what this church is doing. Because we're doing what Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Who are all people? Is it all just the Americans? Is it all just the Asians? Is it all just the Israelites? No, on all people. This is quoting in Acts. It's quoting the prophet Joel. And he's saying, "My pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." So that's my theme scripture for all of what I'm getting ready to share with you. I believe we're living in a day where God is wanting to pour His Spirit out on His sons and His daughters. Where God is wanting to fill us to overflowing. Where God is wanting to take us from one level to the next level. How many want to be a part of that? How many want to be a part of that? You want to be part of the outpouring of God? You want to be part of the last days of God? You want to be part of where I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters? Well, see, we come to church and we get happy with just a little sprinkling of it. Woo! And if they sing that right song, you know, and if they have the lights just right and the music is doing good and Pastor Davies is talking so eloquently, then we can have a little, you know, a little, woo, I felt that. Did you feel that? You felt that. You can have a little foot. But he says in the last days he's going to pour. He's going to pour His Spirit out. Thank you, my brother. Come down here. Come down here. Come down here. What a good sport. I can't let him. Thank you. Take more than one. You deserve it. See, he said he's going to pour His Spirit out. Take another one. Turn around, let him see your face. Woo! Give him a great big hand. Thank you, my brother. See, I believe we're living in the last days where God wants to pour His Spirit out. Say that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to pour His Spirit out? I don't want just a little bit. I don't want just the leftovers. I want to get into the main table. I want to sit at the main table. I want to eat the main course. I want God to pour His Spirit out on His sons and His daughters. Now, how many of you in here are sons and daughters? Everybody should have their hand up, whether you know it or not. You are a son or a daughter in here. So God is looking for a hungry generation. God is looking for a generation where His glory can come and rest, where His glory can come and light on. And I believe Victory Faith is part of that generation. I believe Victory Faith is that generational church that God is getting ready to rest His Spirit on in such a way that it's going to change this entire area of the Garden Estate area, change the entire area around Nairobi, change this area. I believe that. How do I believe that? Because Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be left empty." Yeah, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be left empty." They shall be wanting. They shall... No, what's it say, church? They shall be filled. Say filled. They shall be filled. Now, I'm looking for some hungry and thirsty people this morning. Am I at the right place? Yes. Okay, I heard it was. I heard this was the right place for hungry and thirsty people. And when you look at hunger and thirst, what is hunger? How many have ever been hungry? How many, you know, you've been out working all day and you've been exercising and doing all that stuff and you get this in your stomach. What's that a sign of? That you're hungry. It's a craving. Hunger is a craving or an urgent desire or a need for food or sustenance. What is thirst? How many have ever had just that dryness in your mouth? Pastor Davies was saying when he goes all the way up to Marsabit, it's very warm up there, like 40 degrees Celsius, right? And hotter up there where it is very dry and you just have a thirst and a hunger and a thirst. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So when we look at hunger and thirst, when we look at living in the last days where God is going to pour his spirit out, when we look at what God wants to do, then we've got to have a longing and a desire. We got to have a yearning and a need for God to fill us up, for God to move in our life. You know, and as God was speaking this message to me, I was brought back to a memory that my wife and I had a long time ago when we first started traveling in ministry full time. So in America, we were traveling out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, to different churches all around the United States, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was great. We were called into ministry. We were traveling. And we would most of the time travel by car because it was me, my wife, and two children. Most of the time we would travel by car because flying was a little bit more expensive. And plus, my wife was doing homeschool with the kids, so she was able to take care of the kids while we're driving and doing all that stuff. So we were driving, and we came into a season in our life where, as we were driving, we ran out of gas. Has anybody here been in an automobile or on a motorbike and ran out of gas? A few of you. Okay. Nobody else has experienced that? Maybe I was the only one? There's a few of you. How many have you seen somebody on the side of the road that ran out of gas? You've seen somebody. All right, it's not always the most pleasant feeling. It's not always the most exciting thing. So we're driving one day, and the gas gauge, you know, we have all the vehicles have this little gauge or an instrument on the dash that has a little needle that will tell you whether your tank's full or half full or a quarter full. And we were getting a little low, and my wife was probably the wisdom one that says we probably need to get gas. And I said, oh, I want to get gas up here at this Quick Trip up the road because I really like that. And the kids can go in and go to the bathroom and we can get an ice cream cone at the Quick Trip right up the road. So I want to wait till we get to the Quick Trip. So we're driving along, and I know it's, you know, then the car is equipped with this little light on the dash. There's a light on the dash that'll come on. I think you have them here in Nairobi also. A little light on the dash came on that said, hey buddy, you're running low on fuel. Oh, I know, but that light can come on and I know we can go at least 20 or 30 more kilometers up the road because I want to get gas up there. I like this gas station right up there. I know where it's at. I've been there before, so I want to get gas there. So we keep driving. We get all the way to the exit and we're at the stoplight. And I can see the gas station right over there. And we're waiting at the stoplight. And our car goes. It quit. Immediately, being the spiritual household head, I started praying, oh God, help this car start, oh God. Oh God, devil, oh devil, get your hands off my car. The gas station is right there. I can see it. True story, Pastor Belinda. Gas station's right there. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. Guess what? We were out of gas. The car wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't the devil's fault. It was my fault. I had a warning sign. My wife said, you ought to get gas, that other Holy Spirit God's given us. My wife said that. The light came on the car, and the car told me, I'm running low on gas. You might want to fill up. I was told all those things, but I didn't listen. I wasn't hungry and thirsty. I was preoccupied with wanting to get to the next destination, wanting to get to where I thought I wanted to be. And all the time I was running on empty. And this, God spoke to my wife and I, well, mainly me, through my wife, that many people in the body of Christ are running around on empty, spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about gas in your car, but many of us are running around on empty. And we come to church on a Sunday and we pray and we praise and we ask God to, oh God, fill us up. God, I'm needing you so bad. I'm needing this. And then on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then they wonder where God's at. And they run to Pastor Davies. Oh, Pastor Davies, Pastor Davies, will you pray for me? Pastor Davies, I just need this. And, oh, Pastor Carla, I just, will you please pray for me? And they come into church and they get prayer and they say, okay, yeah, we'll pray over you. God take care of you and heal you and do that. And God touch you and do that. And then they go off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they wonder where God's at. Now, this is not magic. It's an illusion. I want to get that straight. This isn't witch doctorism. This isn't anything like that. This is an illusion for my message. But some of you gasp, but many people in the church. Now, this is in the United States. This doesn't happen in Nairobi. I'm sure that it never happens in Nairobi, Pastor Carla, Pastor Davies. This is in America that the people will run in. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And they come into the church and they ask God to touch them and ask God to fill them and ask God to, oh, please help me do all this and do that and do that. And please help me. And they never do anything else. They remain on empty. But see, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you running around on empty. I've seen too many Christians get crushed by the devil because they were running on empty. They were broken down. They were hurt. They were abused. They were crushed because they were working down on empty. And they blamed it on the devil and they blamed it on everything else. When reality, you're either going to say ouch or amen on this. In reality, it wasn't the devil. It wasn't anybody else. It's that they didn't keep their gas tank filled. If you drive a car or a motorbike and you don't fill your gas tank, what happens? Your car don't go. Your motorbike don't go. It's the same thing with our physical bodies. If I did not eat and drink 3 meals a day, or on some days when I'm hanging out with Pastor Chris, 5 and 6 meals a day, we like to eat because we want to keep our tanks full. That's what I tell my wife, right, Pastor Chris? We want to keep our tanks full. But if you did not, in your own physical body, if you did not eat or drink, If this morning when you got up was the last meal you're going to have and you didn't eat another meal till next Sunday, how are you going to make it through the week? Is it going to be a good week? Would it be a hard week? Yes, it'd be a hard week. That's what happens when we look at physically with a car or physically with our body. We've got to think of that spiritually, how that affects us, church, how that affects us, boys and girls, how that affects us. We can't run. We no longer, you saw that with the example there, we no longer can just get filled up on Sunday mornings. Now, thank God for Sunday mornings. Thank God that we have Victory Faith Church. But you should be here on Wednesday night prayer. You should be here. You can't go from Sunday to Sunday and think that you're going to make it fulfilled and sustained and doing good. Oh, you may make it for a season. And you may be sitting back there going, well, what about prayer and fasting? Well, prayer and fasting is different. If God's told you to pray and fast, and maybe you're fasting a certain type of food or even, but even on water. Remember the scriptures, we're talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We're talking about living in the last days where God wants to pour his spirit out. Let me take this a little step further. So there's some of you that slide in here every Sunday. Not here. This is in America. There are some people that slide in on Sunday to get their fill up and think they can make it the whole week. There's other people that know they've got to fill their tank up. But have you ever gone to a station and got some petrol that was bad? It had dirt in it or junk in the petrol. And you go to put that in your car. Does your car run very well? No, it's, you know, you got this, and it's spitting and sputtering and chugging along. It's the same thing with us spiritually. If we don't fill up with the things that God wants us to fill up on, well, what is that? That's the word, the worship, and the prayer. If we get taught filling up with everything everybody else is doing, well, all my buddies are going over here. We're all running over here doing this. Everybody's watching this on TV. Have you seen this on TikTok? Oh, we can all watch this. No. Haven't you ever heard of GIGO? Garbage in, garbage out. You put the bad gas in your tank, your car's not going to run very well. Same thing if you eat bad foods. Now, this isn't a health class. If you eat bad foods, I know, I've eaten bad foods. It doesn't do good for your body. Same thing spiritually. You've got to eat the good food that God has given you. You can't fill up on TV and sports and media and social media and music and etc. You've got to fill up on the things of God. Amen? Are you with me? What does Pastor Davey say? Is it well? What was that? Did you said earlier? Was it? Are we together? Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you. All right. Are we together? So when we look, now everybody's going to be staring away from me. When we look at this cup, and I've put water in it. And would you say this cup is half full or half empty? How many think it's half full? All right, put your hands down. How many think it's half empty? Okay, there's the optimist and the pessimist, whatever you want to look at there. Whether you think this cup is half full or half empty, hopefully we can agree there's something this cup needs. What does it need? 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 It is not full, correct? Whether you call it half empty or half full, this cup needs more. That's where we are in the body of Christ when we need more and we get filled up with the things of God. Whew, look at that. Now everybody better get scared if I walk out there because this is a whole cup I would dump on you. Is this good that this cup is full? It is, isn't it? It's good. It's good that this cup is full. Do you think that's enough for this cup? Yeah, it's enough for this cup. You're right. It's enough for this cup. But do you think that's the best for this cup? No? Who thinks this is good? And it is good to be filled. And I'm getting somewhere on this. It is good to get filled. It's good to be filled. But you know what? God has more for you. God has more for you. God wants you to overflow. It's good that this is full, but you know what? It's going to be better if it's to overflow. Because what happens if we get filled up and then we come into... You guys are following with me? We come into... We got to pray for somebody. We got to give a little bit away. And then we don't... Then what's happening? It's gone back down. But see, God wants us to overflow. I'm going to set that right there. God wants us to overflow. Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalm, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. One version says overflows. My cup overflows. It's not enough to just come in and get filled. Whoop, there is water in here. It helps if you turn it to pour out. It's not enough to come in and get filled. You've got to come into a point where you can overflow. And the only way this cup is going to overflow is if it stays under the spout where the glory comes out. The only way you're going to overflow in your life is if you stay in a spot where the glory is being poured out. See, if I remove this cup, is it receiving anything? No. It's got to stay. In order to stay in a perpetual state of overflowing, in a perpetual state of allowing God to move, then we've got to stay right where we need to be to overflow. So I've got another object lesson. You like object? Are you getting this?
Yes.
Are you sure you're getting this?
Yes.
Are you positive that you're getting it? This is heavy. I got to pick this thing up. See, God, when we read that first verse in Acts, it said God wants to pour his spirit out on his sons and his daughters, so they can dream dreams, so they can prophesy, so they can lay hands on the sick, so they can tell others about Jesus. He wants to pour his spirit out. And when we sit there and we allow God to pour his spirit out, then God wants to continue to bless us. God wants to continue to pour his spirit out. God wants to give us everything that God has for us. And when he pours out everything that he has for us, do you think that's the end of it? No? If he says in Acts chapter 8 that God wants to pour his spirit out on his sons and his daughters, then that means he's got enough for your next fill-up. He's got enough to pour his spirit out over you and your daughters and your children and your sons and your family and your business and your old men and your young men. And then you know what? Hang on. Got another scripture. We know in John chapter 10, verse 10, I don't think I gave this to the guy. It says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. An abundant life that doesn't run out, that doesn't stop, that always overflows. So what do you need? Do you need joy? Do you need joy in your life? Who needs joy in their life? You need joy in it? John 15, 11. I've told you this. I think I gave you that one, didn't I? I told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, let your joy overflow. You need joy in your life. Thank you, guys. You guys are helping me out because I got to look at my thing. Another one says that your joy may be full. Maybe you need wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Colossians 1:9. Who needs wisdom? I know I need wisdom. Colossians 1:9. You guys can help me out with that one too. For this reason, we also, since we have Since the day we've heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you will be filled with the wisdom of God and spiritual understanding. You be filled. Maybe you need healing. He is risen with healing in his wings. He is, and by his stripes, you are healed. Guess what? There's healing for you. Oh, guess what? Now, this isn't magic again. It's an illusion. You need financial blessings. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You're a tither and an offering giver. Malachi chapter 3 says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. He even says, test me on this and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and do what? Pour out a blessing on you and your family. Get all the blessings on that financial one. What about you need the Holy Spirit? Who's going to be your comforter, your helper, your teacher, your guide, your counselor? Who's going to be your paraclete to come alongside you? But the Holy Spirit. What did he say about the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, and they were all filled and with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They were all, how many were filled?
All.
How many were filled?
All.
He poured out his Spirit on his sons and his daughters. See, no matter where you're at, church, no matter what situation you're in, God doesn't want you on empty. God has promised an abundant flow. As a matter of fact, he says, out of your belly will flow what?
Rivers.
That's plural. Rivers of living water. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. And God will continue to give to you an abundance of everything. Everything. All of it. Of everything you need. God will continue to pour his Spirit out on his sons and his daughters. God will continue to give you more and more. I'm going to end with this scripture. Pastor Davey said I had to like 5 o'clock tonight. It's Sunday, so no. I want to end with this scripture. We started with Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, talking about blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But I really like what Luke's version says. Luke chapter 6, verse 21 says, blessed are they that hunger now. Blessed are they that hunger now, for you shall be filled. And then it goes on, if you keep reading, it goes on in verse 25 to say, woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. The difference between Matthew and Luke is one little three-letter word called now. If we're living in the last days, and now is the last days when God is going to pour his Spirit out, then God is looking for people who are hungry and thirsty right now. They said, God, I'm tired of running on empty. I'm tired of running in and wondering where you're at and there's nothing there. I'm tired of that. I'm ready. I'm hungry right now. I gotta have a drink right now. I gotta have a healing right now. I gotta have deliverance right now. I gotta have your Spirit right now. I gotta have that anointing right now. I cannot do it on my own. God, I got to have you right now. If you're hungry and you want Jesus to touch your life, to be the Lord of your life, and you say, Pastor Michael, that's me. I've been running around on empty. I'm hungry now, and I want God to fill me up. I want you to raise your hand. All over the place.